Remember when we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam? So they prostrated themselves except Shaitan. He was one of the jinn. He disobeyed the command of his Lord. What do? We don't disbelieve in Allah, we're simply disobeying Him. Will you then take Shaitan and his offspring as protectors rather than me while they are enemies to you? What folly! What an evil exchange for the wrongdoers! I did not make them witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, not their own creation, nor was I to take the misleaders as helpers. Remember the day He will call those so-called partners of mine whom you pretended. Then they will cry to them, but they will not answer them, and we shall put a barrier between them. وَرَأَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارِ The criminals shall see the fire, and apprehend that they have to fall therein. Again and again, the word criminals. We need to think about it. Are we amongst the criminals? God forbid. And they will find no way of escape from there. And indeed, we have put forth every kind of example in this Quran for mankind. But man is ever more quarrelsome than anything. And nothing prevents men from believing when the guidance has come to them and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, except that the ways of the ancient people be repeated with them or the torment be brought to them face to face. What are we all waiting for? For death? That's when we'll start obeying Allah. And we send not the messengers except the givers of glad tidings and warners. But those who disbelieve dispute with false argument in order to refute the truth thereby. And they treat my signs and that which they are warned with as a joke and as mockery. And who does more wrong than he who is reminded of the signs of his Lord but turns away from them, forgetting what deeds his hands have sent forth. Truly we have set veils over their hearts lest they should understand this, and in their ears deafness. They listen to the Quran but they find it really boring. And if you were to call them to guidance, never would they be guided. وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ And your Lord is most forgiving, owner of mercy. Were He to call them to account for what they have earned, then surely He would have hastened their punishment. But they have their appointed time, beyond which they will find no escape. And these towns, we destroyed them when they did wrong. And we appointed a fixed time for their destruction. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ Allah tells us another story. Remember when Musa said to his servant, I will not give up traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas, or until I spend years and years in traveling. But when they reached the junction of the two seas, they forgot their fish, and it took its way through the sea as in a tunnel. So when they had passed further on, Musa said to his servant, Bring us our breakfast. Truly we have suffered much fatigue in this our journey. He said, Do you remember when we betook ourselves to the rock? I indeed forgot the fish. None but Shaitan made me forget to remember it. It took its course into the sea in a strange way. Musa said, That is what we have been seeking. So they went back retracing their footsteps. Then they found one of our slaves, on whom we had bestowed mercy from us and whom we had taught knowledge from us. And this was Khizr alayhi salam. Now the following conversation between Musa and Khizr alayhi salam is very important because it teaches us the relationship between a teacher and student as well as other lessons. Musa said to Khizr, May I follow you so that you teach me something of that knowledge which you have been taught? Khizr said, Indeed, you will not be able to have patience with me. The first step we need for knowledge is sabr. Even if we don't understand the wisdom of Allah's laws, we need to go on being patient and persevering in obeying them. And how can you have patience about a thing which you know not? Musa said, If Allah wills, you will find me patient, and I will not disobey you in anything. Khizr said, Then if you follow me, ask me not about anything until I myself mention it to you. So they both proceeded, till when they embarked the ship, Khizr scuttled it. Musa said, Have you scuttled it in order to drown its people? Indeed, you have committed a dreadful thing. Khizr said, Did I not tell you that you would not be able to have patience with me? Musa said, Do not call me to account for what I forgot, and be not hard upon me for my affair with you. He so humbly immediately apologizes. Then they both proceeded till they met a boy, and Khizr killed him. Musa alayhi salam said, Have you killed an innocent person who had killed none? Indeed, you have committed an evil thing. Khizr alayhi salam said, Did I not tell you that you can have no patience with me? Musa alayhi salam said, If I ask you anything after this, keep me not in your company. You have received an excuse from me. Then they both proceeded, till when they came to the people of a town, they asked them for food, but they refused to entertain them. Then they found therein a wall about to collapse, and Khizr set it up straight. Musa alayhi salam said, If you had wished, surely you could have taken wages for it. He doesn't ask him a question outright, but he's sort of trying to find out why he did it. Khizr alayhi salam said, "Hada firaqu bayni wa baynik." This is the parting between me and you. I will tell you the interpretation of those things over which you were unable to hold patience. As for the ship, it belonged to poor people working in the sea. So I wished to make a damage in it, as there was a king behind them who seized every ship by force. And as for the boy, his parents were believers, and we feared lest he should oppress them by rebellion and disbelief. So we intended that their Lord should change him for them, for one better in righteousness and nearer to mercy. And as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the town, and there was under it a treasure belonging to them. And their father was a righteous man, and your Lord intended that they should attain their age of full strength and take out their treasure as a mercy from your Lord. وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ وَنَمْرِي I did not do these things of my own accord. ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا This is the interpretation of those things about which you could not hold patience. What does this story teach us? We learn firstly that before we gain knowledge, we need sabr. Above all, we learn not to pass superficial judgments. What is the cult of materialism? That you worship the obvious. That if someone is prospering, it means he is the victor, he is doing something right. And if someone's in problems and suffering, that means he's doing something wrong. To pass obvious judgments, to be deceived by the outward appearance of things. What has Allah told us in the Quran? Asam takrahu shaya wa huwa khairul lakum. Maybe you dislike something and it is good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا Maybe you love something. وَهُوَ الشَّرُّ لَكُمْ And it is bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ And Allah knows. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ And you do not know. We read Allah's commands today. We heard about how much Allah despises, how much Allah dislikes certain things. So Allah is telling us, if you can't understand the wisdom behind this or anything that happens in your life, then it's not because of Allah's laws containing any deficiency, it's because of the deficiency in our own understanding. And we find that this principle was illustrated in Surah Yusuf. Again and again, Yusuf alayhi salam suffering in every possible way. And Allah keeps on saying, thus do we reward those who do good. It doesn't seem like a reward in the beginning, but ultimately Allah grants him relief from his problems. So from this story we learn that we shouldn't pass judgments about things that happen and say, why has Allah done this and this is not fair and I didn't deserve this. We need sabr and we need humility before Allah will reveal His knowledge to us. And we need to believe that whatever Allah does, it is for our own good. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ Allah knows. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ And you do not know. Then we learn of the relationship between a student and teacher. It's supposed to be one of humility. It's supposed to be one of patience, not of impatience that the student says, no, I want to know everything the first day. We're supposed to wait because gaining knowledge is like sowing a seed. You need time, you need deliberation, you need effort before it grows into that kalima tayyiba, before it grows into that beautiful tree. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِلْقَرْنَيْنِ And they ask you about ذُلْقَرْنَيْنِ Say, I shall recite to you something of his story. Now the story of Dhulqarnain bears great relevance for us in this day. He was a great ruler who had been given marvelous resources, marvelous power. But see how he harnessed that power. See how he used that power. See his humility to Allah. Indeed, we established him in the earth and we gave him the means of everything. So he followed away. Until when he reached the setting place of the sun, he found it setting in a spring of black muddy water. And he found near it a people. We said, O Zulqarnain, either you punish them or treat them with kindness. He said, as for him who does wrong, we shall punish him. And then he will be brought back to his Lord, who will punish him with a terrible torment. Zulqarnain links everything to Allah. He doesn't start worshipping his power and say, well, I am the ultimate global superpower and I'm going to implement right and I'm going to forbid wrong. He says, I'll punish him in this world and then he will be brought back to his Lord. Who will punish him with a terrible torment. That is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. That even if we've been given power, we don't let that power blind us. But as for him who believes and does good deeds, he shall have the best reward, and we shall speak to him soft words. Then he followed another way. Now Allah is describing his travels, and think of the vast expanse of land he covered. Until when he came to the rising place of the sun, he found it rising on a people for whom we had provided no shelter against the sun. Now he comes to a people who are so primitive and so backward, but he doesn't enslave them. And we can think of the colonization of the poorer countries of this world. He doesn't enslave them. He's been given power. He could have done what he liked with these people, but he leaves them alone. So it was, and we knew all about him. Then he followed another way, until when he reached between two mountains, he found before them a people who scarcely understood a word. They said, O Zulqarnain, indeed Ya'juj and Ma'juj are doing great mischief in the land. Shall we then pay you a tribute in order that you might erect a barrier between us and them? What does he say? قَالَ مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٍ فَأَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا. He said, that with which my Lord has established me is better. So help me with strength. He doesn't take any tax from them. He doesn't exploit them. Can we imagine any superpower giving free aid to any country who needed their help? Look at Zulqarnain. He says, no, I've got enough for my needs. I don't need to suck you dry. So help me with strength, but you can help me by doing something for yourself. He teaches them to become self-sufficient. I will erect between you and them a barrier. Give me pieces of iron. Then when he had filled up the gap between the two mountain cliffs, he said, blow. Then when he had made them red as fire, he said, bring me molten copper to pour over them. So they could not scale it or dig through it. Now look at the technology at his disposal. Look at the resources that he's harnessed. And look at his magnificent statement. قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. He said, this is a mercy from my Lord. Not because I'm so intelligent or I'm the supreme being who's discovered this. No, this is a mercy from my Lord. لَا يُحِيطُونَ بِالشَّيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. They cannot encompass any part of his knowledge except as much as Allah wills. And the mu'min acknowledges this every step of the way. He builds this amazing, imposing wall. And what does he say? This is a mercy from my Lord. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعْلَهُ دَكَّى. But when the promise of my Lord comes, he will level it down to the ground. وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقَّى. And the promise of my Lord is ever true. We look at their skyscrapers and buildings and we dazzle. And we think, oh wow, these people have really made it. What is Zulqarnain saying after building this tremendous wall? This is a mercy from my Lord. And when my Lord wishes, this will be destroyed as well. This is the vision of a moment. وَتَرَقْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ يَوْمَيْذِي يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْدٍ. See, in the story of Zulqarnain, we find Allah gives us this beautiful example of a man who had dunya. Deen doesn't mean that we all have to go and sleep in a cave. He was worshipping Allah, and so were those men in the cave. Look at Sulaiman alayhi salam. He had everything, and he harnessed all that power for Allah's command. Look at the early days of Islam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims had nothing. They were serving Allah. And then later on, when they were given everything, they were still serving Allah. This is the balance of a mu'min's personality and life. That when they have, then also they serve Allah. And when they don't have, then also they serve Allah. And he says, the promise of my Lord is ever true. He doesn't just become blinded by arrogance and think, well, I've done so much for these people. I've achieved all of this. Alhamdulillah, as we read in the beginning of the surah. And on that day, we shall lead them to surge like waves on one another. What day is this? The day of judgment. If any of you have gone for Hajj, and you participated in that ritual where you're stoning the devils, and you've seen that ocean of people, and the pandemonium, and you know, the jostling and the pushing, and the fear that you might be stampeded any minute, and that you might be crushed and trampled upon, then that's a very slight preview of the Day of Judgment. Past, present, future generations, all of mankind will be assembled that day. People will be literally in fear of their lives. And people in fear do not act politely. They're pushing, they're jostling. We shall leave them to surge like waves on one another. And the trumpet shall be blown. فَجَمَعْنَاهُمْ جَمْعًا. We will gather them all together. وَعَرَضْنَا جَهَنَّمَ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَرْضًا. We shall present hell to the disbelievers plain to view on that day. Well, we're not disbelievers. We've said La ilaha illallah. But listen to Allah's description of the disbelievers. الَّذِينَ كَانَتْ أَعْيُنُهُمْ فِي غِطَاءٍ عَنْ ذِكْرِي. وَكَانُوا لَا يَفْتَطِعُونَ السَّمْعَى. Those whose eyes had been under a covering from my reminder. We're not ready to read the Qur'an yet. We're too young to read the Qur'an. The Qur'an is too difficult to understand. The Qur'an is too frightening. Those whose eyes had been under a covering from my reminder. وَكَانُوا لَا يَفْتَطِعُونَ السَّمْعَى. They couldn't bear to hear it. They went to hear it, but they were bored, fidgeting, looking here and there, yawning, wishing they weren't there. who could not bear to hear it. How are we supposed to listen to the Quran? إِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. When the Quran is recited, then listen attentively. This is the word of Allah. Listen with respect, with courtesy. وَأَنْصِتُوا. And be quiet. Don't talk, don't whisper, don't fidget. Internalize, absorb the words of Allah. And if we don't want to listen, then we come under this category of kafirin. أَفَحَسِبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Do these people who have disbelieved, what gives these people the guts to do this? Why aren't they interested in listening to the Quran? Obviously they're relying on something. Do these people who disbelieve think that they can take my slaves as protectors besides me? See, this is the crux of the matter. We're relying on someone else. I don't need to read the Quran because I've said la ilaha illallah and the Prophet will intercede for me. I don't need to read the Quran. I don't need to act upon it because some peer or some buzurg will step forward and take my sins for me. Allah says, Inna a'tadna jahannama lil kafirina nuzula. Know that we have prepared hell as a hospitality for the disbelievers. And we just read the description of the disbelievers. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Should we tell you about the greatest losers in respect of their deeds? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Those whose efforts have been wasted in this life. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. What's their tragedy? These poor losers thought that they were doing something good. Now who are these people? When people do deeds for the sake of this world, when we build great monuments to be remembered by people, when we give vast amounts of money because we're a philanthropist, not that we're doing it for Allah. No, I'm just one who loves humanity and I want to serve humanity. And I'll do social work and I don't have time for salat, but you know, Allah will understand. And when I do a good deed for the sake of people, when I read the Quran, when I teach the Quran so people can admire me and call me a scholar, then we come under this category. Those whose efforts have been wasted. This is the tragedy. They were doing something. But their priorities were wrong. Their motive was wrong. Their method was wrong. Like some people who say, we don't need the sunnah, we'll figure it out for ourselves. Then the method of doing it is wrong. And Allah won't accept it. Allah has told us, tell them, O Prophet of Allah, if you love Allah, then follow me. If our intention is wrong. Remember the hadith about the scholar who will be brought forward and Allah will ask him, what did you do? And he will say, I taught the Quran. And Allah will say, you lie. You taught it so that people could call you a scholar. And he will be thrown into hell. Those whose efforts have been wasted in this life. And the tragedy is they were deluding themselves. They thought that they were doing great deeds. They are those who deny the signs of their Lord. And the meeting with him. فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Their deeds are lost in vain. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. We shall assign no weight for them on the day of judgment. People who worship this cult of materialism, a better job, a better house, a better car, and that's all it's about. On the day of judgment, Allah won't even look at them. He won't even ask, where are all your houses and your cars and how many bank balances did you have in the end and how many private accounts did you manage to acquire? No. لَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ وَزْنًا. Allah won't even place a weight for them. When we do something for other than Allah, when we're obsessed with the world, then we needn't expect a reward from Allah. ذَلِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. That shall be the recompense, hell. بِمَا كَفَرُوا. Because they disbelieved. وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَرُسُولِي هُزُوَا. They took my signs and my messengers as a joke. We know that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us certain things in his sunnah. But if we are deriding them, then we are deriding Allah. Because he was sent by Allah. We've read in the Quran today, clearly, Allah has forbidden us music, Allah has forbidden us things which he dislikes. Now if we still turn away and say, Allah's Ghafoor Rahim, then we're treating Allah and his book as a joke. Allah says, that shall be their recompense, hell, because they disbelieve. And they took my signs, and they took my messengers as a joke. When we deride hijab, we are deriding Allah. When we deride any aspect of Islam, be it polygamy, be it slavery, be it hijab, be it following the sunnah, we are deriding Allah. And the recompense for people who make fun of Allah is hell. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. Indeed, those who believe and do good deeds, such shall have the gardens of paradise for their hospitality. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They will live therein forever. لا يبغون عنها حولا. They will not wish for any removal therefrom. Whenever Allah mentions Jannah, Allah mentions stillness, peace, tranquility. What is this materialistic world obsessed with? The latest fashion, constant excitement. There should be something happening all the time. What's happening? What's new? And so on and on and on, and shaitan gets us sucked into that quicksand of wasting our time and lives on rubbish. Allah says the people of Jannah have steadiness, they have calmness, they won't wish to be removed from Jannah. You think they'll be bored there? قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. We're not interested in this Jannah, are we? We are interested in the Jannah that people have created on this world. But Allah says that as for this Jannah, who does this Jannah belongs to? Allah. And tell them, if the sea were ink for writing the words of my Lord, surely the sea would be finished before the words of my Lord would be finished, even if we brought another sea like it for its aid. Allah, Nuru Samawati wal Ard, the light of the heavens and the earth. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is none like him. لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَلَىٰ. For him is the supreme description. We've read today the path to his Jannah. We've also read today the path to his hell. So the choice is ours. Which do we want? What will our dreams, what will our hopes revolve around? What will our pursuits, our conversations, our dialogues, what will they center on? أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَصَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Remember, wherever you turn, there is the being of Allah. We can't escape him, we can't hide from him, we cannot deceive him in any way. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Tell them, I am only a human being. He is not nur suspended between Allah and mankind. He is a human being. مِثْلُكُمْ, just like you. يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. What sets him apart? What makes him special? That it is revealed to me. أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Your God is one God. When we follow people's desires, when our friends say, oh, come to this party for my sake, or just have you heard the latest gossip, and we listen to that gossip because we don't want to offend our friend, then that means that we are serving our friend rather than Allah. Now, slavery has negative connotations these days, and that's why people object against Islam, or Islam talks about slavery. But we need to be careful lest we are enslaved to people. Lest we are enslaved to men, to our spouses, to our parents, to our children, to our friends. Anyone for whose sake we are disobeying Allah, we are his slave. Let there be no doubt about that. What is Allah teaching us? إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Rid yourselves of these multitude of gods. Focus on one Allah alone. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever hopes for the meeting with his Lord. See, that's the key question. That's the first step. When we start thinking about the hereafter, only then can we do something. We're not even thinking about hereafter. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of the grave. So fine, we can wait till the angel of death comes, then we can think about death. Whoever hopes for the meeting with his Lord, let him do good deeds. Not just talk, not just preach, let him do something. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. This is the key ayat. Let him not commit any shirk in his worship of his Lord. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ once and asked him that sometimes I do a good deed and I want Allah to be happy and I want people to be happy. And that's what we do also. And the Prophet ﷺ recited this ayat. In other words, whatever we do should be done for Allah alone. Man أحب لله, whoever loves for Allah's sake. Man أبغض لله, whoever hates for Allah's sake. Man أعطى لله, whoever gives for Allah's sake. Man منع لله, whoever withholds for Allah's sake. فقد استكمل الإيمان, he has perfected Iman. That's what our Iman should be, a pattern of beauty, harmony and tawheed. Not tarnished by our hypocrisy when we want people to admire us or when we're scared of people. لا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. Whether his own nafs or his wealth or his children or his friends or his society. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.